2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
Now, the cool thing when you start to scale your business and you get just that bit bigger than you is at some stage you're going to go, oh, I get to hire staff. Now, the cool thing about staff is you get to help and you get to have all sorts of bits and pieces done that you don't actually have to do yourself. The problem with staff is they come with all their own issues. And let's face it, we do employ whole people, not parts of people. So you've really got to deal with everything about those people. You can't just go, well, you know, leave your baggage at the outside and here's your money. And it just doesn't work like that, especially today. It can be a bit complicated. And when you're starting out, taking that half step to having someone to help you with HR, but not having to have someone of your own, can be really tricky. It's like, when do you do? Where do you even start? Well, today we've met Alicia Kutia. She has this fantastic company called Tailored HR. She's not one of those off-the-shelf kind of people. She will listen to your business, understand what the heck you want, then get involved. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, the tricky thing I find with when I've got team members is I always get so absorbed in, am I doing the right thing by them? And you hit the internet, which is where logically you would start, and you look at the awards and you look at this, and I don't feel any of the wiser. I still look at it and go, I'm not quite sure what I should be doing here. Is this where you come in?
Yes, definitely. We go to our clients and we go and look at what the size of their business, what their needs are, how many employees they have, and then just as our name say, we tailor-made services for their organization. So we work through it, myself and our consultants are experienced and qualified HR people that go into the business with a wealth of knowledge across all industries. And we can weave through all of that stuff when it comes to industrial relations and going through all of the awards and making sure that you pay the right staff and that you have the right structures in place to manage those people.
Okay, so you could make sure that we're not just paying them right, but they've got the holidays right and their entitlements are right and things like notice periods are sorted and you've got the right paperwork in place and so they function well and are looked after appropriately within my business?
Right. Yes, correct. So we look at, first things first, there's always an employment contract. Making sure you've got a solid employment contract to employ your staff on, which means covering all those things regarding leave, what they should and what they shouldn't be doing. And then we're also looking at policies and procedures. What are the framework that everyone within your business has to operate in? How do we align with the values of the company? Is that when you recruit, you want to recruit staff that is in alignment with your company values, because if you do that, you'll have staff that stay longer and they will be ambassadors for your brand.
So you touched on recruiting there. Recruiting and human resources are two different skill sets, aren't they?
Correct.
Okay. So when it comes to recruiting, that's about getting someone, the right person to work through my door. Is that right?
Yes.
So human resources or HR is all about managing them once they get here.
Correct. Basically from the time that they onboard, from the time that they start their first day, here's your employment contract. Here's your job description. This is what your job is within this company. And this is how we're going to manage you through your life in this company.
What's the biggest stumbling block you find with most small businesses in this HR space? What's the thing which trips us up the most?
The thing that I think trips up most small business owners is they've got so many hats to wear and HR is just one of them. And they just don't have the knowledge on how to manage their staff from a point of view of, firstly, industrial relations. So really, what should and shouldn't I be doing? And also having those difficult conversations. When you get
so
to
true.
That point where something has gone not quite right, but how do you deal with the employee? Because from an industrial relations perspective, the laws are very clear that you have to follow specific steps in a specific order for you to be compliant. And if you don't know, you could easily make a mistake unknowingly. But with the Fair Work, don't look at it that way. They go, this is the steps, this is the process. You should know, you run a business, you employ staff, you should be doing it right. And I suppose that's where someone like myself, a seasoned HR professional, comes in to help you through those steps, to help assist you through that and make sure that you do the right thing so that you as an employer is covered.
Because I suppose, especially in small businesses, so when you're talking, you know, sort of like 3 to 4 people, we get to know each other so well. You almost become family. They're not really employees, are they? And so having those conversations is, I think, even one step harder than perhaps if you had a larger group where you were a manager. I always find it difficult to keep sometimes the distance between my team and myself. I think I find sometimes I become maybe a little bit tolerant. Things are starting to, wobbly boots are on. Rather than addressing it straight up the front, you sort of kind of think, oh, they're just having a bad day, and oh, they're just having a bad week. And all of a sudden you're so far away from where you wanted the team to be, and you just don't know how to get back. Is that, well, obviously it's a bit late, but I should have rung you 2 weeks ago, but is that a conversation we can have and you can come and effectively rescue us with your, you know,
absolutely,
masters of brilliance?
Absolutely. I think the first things first is when you have situations like that is to go back and make sure that you actually do have the right policies and procedures in place to manage that from that perspective firstly, because it's like having sheep in a paddock. Unless you have a little fence around it, which is the policies and the procedures, so people don't go awry, unless they know what that fence is, they'll do whatever until you tell them otherwise.
No. They're making it up. They're doing the best job they can, but if you haven't given them some parameters, they're guessing. You're right.
Correct.
Absolutely.
So they're guessing. But if you, even if you have those in place and you haven't quite enforced it, because you're kind of small and everyone's doing their own thing.
It's like leaving a gate open, isn't it?
That's fine. But again, then I suppose from an HR point of view, we can come in and go, all right, let's take it 2 steps back. Where are we at now? How can we fix what's happened? Let's reiterate, let's do some training around. This is the guidelines. This is the behavior we expect within the organization. Maybe do some mentoring, some coaching around this is the behaviors that we expect from this point forward, because we can always change the behavior.
I guess so. You're coaching not just the team members, but also perhaps the business owner as well.
Absolutely.
About how, you know, he or she could do things better or can engage better with their team.
Definitely.
What a fantastic idea. Okay. So why did you get into HR?
I've been in human resources 17 years now, been in corporate for a long time, probably 12 of those years, and now 5 years of my own. It's come from a desire to help people. I'm passionate about people, so I really want to help. But I started my career a long time ago in the psychology space, but that one-on-one in that psychology space wasn't quite for me because I would be too attached to that. So from a corporate point of view, I felt that I could provide a lot of value to guide people in the organization.
So more of a one-to-many sort of model.
One-to-many, yes. So providing mentoring and coaching for leadership teams. How do we actually work more effectively as a team? How can we get together to achieve the goals and the vision and the mission of the company? Because everyone in the organization, whether you're in finance or marketing or HR, all of those are cohesively needed to take the organization forward. So if you've got one component that isn't quite pulling their weight, or that's not quite cohesive, then that's when things don't go that well.
You're like trying to run a clock with a cog which isn't quite the right size. You know, it sort of kind of runs, but it doesn't keep good time.
Yeah, so it's really a desire to assist people to, and also to achieve their best. Because we work not because we want to. We work because we want, I suppose we want to, but it has to be meaningful work. So it's not just for the sake of receiving a paycheck.
No, that helps.
It helps. It definitely helps to be paid for that. But it's also about getting paid to do meaningful work.
Yeah, and actually feeling a valued part of the company.
And feeling valued.
Yeah, absolutely. Because let's face it, we spend a lot of time at work.
And correct.
If all you have to do is drag yourself in the door and sit there and watch the clock go 2 minutes forward and 1 minute back all day, then it just, yeah, it's soul destroying.
It is. And I suppose also the other thing that I am passionate about is helping small businesses become an employer of choice.
Right.
Which means that if you attract and retain the right staff that is with you to achieve your vision and mission in your business, then again, they will become your brand ambassadors and they will spread the word, and you'll have people knock on your door to come and work for you. You won't be going looking for them because they want to be part of that. You'll also have customers that want to return because they get great customer service. They like the people they deal with at the business. So it doesn't matter what your business is and what industry you are, there's always someone in a form of customer service. And if you have people in your business that provide that great customer service, people will return and the other people will tell other people. So that's how you become, I suppose, ideally a employer of choice. People want to come and work for you and returning customers and new customers based on that.
I always think about HR as about keeping my team happy. You often forget the flow-on effect of having a happy team who understands what you're trying to do and the why behind your business and the impact that that has on your clients and your brand and the way they talk about things. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have all your team members go to a barbecue on a Saturday night with some friends of theirs and they go, oh, how's work? Oh, it's great. Oh, we've got this fantastic new thing going on and you're not going to believe what we're doing with these new tires, you know, or whatever you're selling. They're having those conversations. Yeah, absolutely. Happy team, happy life.
The biggest thing I've also seen in recent times helping a lot of organisations around this having difficult conversations or even going through some change management because we are in the current economic environment, we are a lot of people are thinking about restructuring or you know having some form of change. It really is so important that the leaders are upfront. They have to take the lead for others to follow. You can't expect people to change if you're not going to lead from the front. And that means a lot and consistent, clear communication.
And not trying to cope with everything yourself just because you think you've got to be the biggest and bravest and adultest of everybody there.
And just not communicating at once, but communicating it continually, I think is the other thing. Because we find a lot of people want to embrace change and we're going to do this and they're all fire and brimstone and get the message out once or twice, and then nothing.
Assume that's enough.
Yes, we can't have long-lasting change within business and changing behaviours if we only communicate it once or twice. It has to be communicated continually. And I think that's one of the other things that we assist managers and business owners to understand that just communicating it once or twice won't get you there.
Right, and talking of communication, if people want to have this conversation with you, what's the best way to get hold of you?
So I can be contacted on our website, tailoredhr.com.au. Email elicia@tailoredhr.com.au.
Now, considering how I struggle with that name, you better spell it for our audience.
E-L-I-S-I-A.
So, as it sounds.
As it sounds.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That's brilliant. I think that's definitely a conversation worth having because it can be really tricky. And it's amazing how we build these things up in our heads. And we put off these conversations with our team when in actual fact, they're never as terrible as you think they're going to be. And people get it. They understand.
You know, I think one of my highest values and my own personal values and also my business values is around integrity and honesty. And I think sometimes we just need to have an honest conversation. Just address the elephant in the room, right? And just in a nice way, but address it.
Yeah.
It doesn't help we just go around in circles and people aren't clear, because if people are clear, they can act.
Absolutely. Great words. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.